time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Thursday, Friday Eve, Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. And we are here discussing another Kings loss as they lose to the Denver Nuggets. Don't really even need to say the score. It wasn't very close. And it's probably what everybody expected. It was 117-96. But does it hurt more because the Kings actually tried to give us some hope at the beginning? Look, you just watched the Kings lose to the Heat with half of their roster missing. Maybe the Kings can pay it forward and make it happen. And eventually there is a reason that the Nuggets are the defending champs, and they showed up and showed out. And with everything going against the Kings, it ended up going against the Kings. You have a Denver team that hadn't beaten the Kings yet, and no De'Aaron Fox, and a Nuggets team was trying to turn it on now. They have now won 4 straight. At the time, it was 3 straight. And they were out to prove something regardless of who was on the other side, and it happened to be the Kings. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Yep. I'm doing all right. It was not a fun watching experience for really a majority of that game. You know, 1.5 quarters looked like this could be the win of the season. And then, like you highlighted in the crosstalk there was that lob attempt to Trey Lyles. And then after that, it was all downhill, and it was very, very downhill. The Kings struggled to score. It was a rough night of Kings basketball to watch. And you know, yeah, we're definitely going to talk about it, but it's something that we're not going to dwell on it. We are not going to sit here for 4 hours and doom and gloom all of this. There's other things to talk about. There are things to talk about from that game, but we're not just going to sit here and talk about how terrible this team is.
No, there's no point. There is
or can be. I should say. Not
I don't. Is. I don't know that it's a burn the tape situation, but to me, it's a burn the tape situation simply because you're nothing without De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
So we could sit here and say, well, this rotation or that rotation, none of that matters because when it's money time, if De'Aaron Fox ain't playing, the Kings are doing anything anyway. Sure. So it's a throw away the tape for me, only because De'Aaron didn't play.
Yeah.
And De'Aaron is so important.
When you didn't get anything out of it. Like, it didn't have to be a throw a tape away game.
That's
like,
true.
You could have gotten things that it's like, hey, Davion Mitchell showed some real promise here. Yeah. And if De'Aaron has
Mason
time,
Jones got in.
Mason Jones got in. I didn't get to see the entire fourth quarter. My internet went out. The second Mason Jones checked in, I got to see Mason Jones check in. And then my internet completely died. So I actually didn't get to watch any of the Mason Jones experience. I got to see him in Stockton. I assume I looked at his numbers, 1 point, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. That sounds about right for what you're typically going to get from Mason Jones. He really is just like a DeLon Wright kind of player.
Yeah, he was a little, he was raring to go, right?
And of course, we've seen that energy.
Yeah, there are a couple times where the bench group, even though Jamal Murray still played, whether you think that's fair or foul, we can throw that in the conversation as well. A couple times where the Kings made a run and then there was a turnover here, a little bit of hot coffee with some of the passes. So I wouldn't say that you can, you know, fire up the highlights. You didn't really miss too much.
Didn't
if there
like
was
it.
A game, and it's weird that you said that because my YouTube TV has been messing up.
Yeah.
I don't have Xfinity, or I don't believe I have Xfinity, but yeah, my YouTube has been messing up too. So I don't know what's going on. I know earlier in the week, AT&T had some issues. By the way, we got Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us
He's
today.
Back.
And we are happy for that. We will hear from Nate throughout the show. Got some Niner stuff to get into.
Debo Weather.
And there he is.
Oh, it's Debo Weather today.
It is Debo Weather. It's going to rain again. And people are getting upset with this timing of everything because the beginning of the week has been beautiful.
Yeah.
And then you get to closer to the weekend and the rain starts coming. I do think
it's fitting for the Kings play, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
The way they've played, it feels like the weather should be getting progressively worse.
I did wear a Prince purple rain shirt yesterday.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to help.
Right.
It didn't.
Yep.
Right? It did at the beginning.
Yeah.
But
it looked good. It looked really good for about 15 minutes there.
I mean, we all knew you have to you have to pad that lead as much as possible because
the
Nuggets are going to make a run and then it's going to end in a close game and hopefully you would be up so much they wouldn't be able to overcome it.
Yeah.
15 was not going – I didn't – we felt good because they weren't losing by 15, but we knew 15 was not going to hold. You had to get it to that 20 range, and I'm not going to put anything on. I've been fairly tough on Malik, partly because he's probably my favorite player on the team, and I've been a little bit tough on Malik as far as being a starter. But the usage that you got out of him – last night is what you had, so I'm not going to – did I like when I saw the alley-oop pass? But that's what Malik does. He went for it. And
live and die by him, right?
It didn't work out. And then Davion, can't really be upset with Davion. You kind of – you don't have to take that three.
Right.
But I can't really get on him for taking it because
if you
need to find –
it up, then it's a problem.
Then we're saying
– he's frayed.
Exactly. And, you know, for Davion – and don't worry, we see you already on the text line – on the Fossil Make Honda hotline as well and the SAC chat. Patty Mills is available. We know.
Yeah.
We know. Patty Mills. Does he
He's
going to
fix
you?
It all. No, he's going to fix
no,
everything.
No, he is going to fix
gonna
it all.
He's going to fix everything.
I didn't even know he was on. I told you who he played for.
No, I would have no idea.
When they played the Hawks, the Kings, my buddies were texting me saying, do you think Patty Mills, Pride of St. Mary's, is still playing? I had no clue.
We had Delly last year. Why not?
That's right. So – are you interested in Patty Mills? Does he move you? Obviously, you'd like to see more production from that backup position, but hopefully you're not seeing that backup position fairly often, and hopefully we have an update on De'Aaron Fox before the show is over as far as what happens tomorrow night in Minnesota. Also have the Combine heating up. 49ers might need to make some tough decisions. Mike Silver had a good article in the SF Chronicle. We will go over all of that. And Zach Wilson to the 49ers for QB2, his odds, what is he, third highest odds to play for the 49ers in 2024. I don't understand that. I just don't, there is no part of me that understands that at all. At all.
I think I could understand why they would want a backup quarterback with some experience, but I don't know if Zach Wilson is the guy for that plan. It just really doesn't make sense at all. Not that Zach Wilson's really going to – he's not going to push Brock for his starting spot ever, but it's just – you know, I feel like Taylor Heineke's a better option. I just feel like there's better guys who are a little bit a little bit more experienced than Zach Wilson. Like, Zach Wilson still needs some real development, and I don't think you want that from your backup quarterback.
Also, the two hardest working men for SacktownSports.com, Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, they were answering – they dropped the collab. They were answering questions. So we're reacting to that piece, and we're also reacting to the comments that people had. Brendan posed a question during the game, essentially, what could change – or what are you worried about over the next 24 games and what could change that?
Yeah.
So we will answer that ourselves and hear from the people, hear from Sacramento Kings fans on – what they think and what they had to say. Also, Andrew Wiggins, another leave of absence.
Yeah.
We have that sound. And Andrew Wiggins, this is the second year in a row where Andrew Wiggins is taking some time for himself. And Steve Kerr is saying, hey, again, we're going to keep this thing private. I think this is a very, very compelling situation.
Yeah.
Because if we take it out of Warriorville and insert any team and any player.
Yep.
For example, we could do the same exercise with who is that level? What, Keegan? I think
Kevin Herter probably. Keegan's a little he's pretty high up on the totem.
Okay, cool. So Kevin Herter, he took a leave of absence. But don't forget, Wiggins did it last season getting NBA Finals MVP votes.
Yeah.
Finals MVP votes.
And he missed about 40 games.
And he got signed to a new contract.
Yeah.
He got signed to a new contract. So we might not have that perfect comp on the Kings team.
Right.
Somewhere between Keegan and Harrison Barnes.
Sure.
Somewhere
or
there.
HB. HB's a good one to pick.
So you need him.
Yeah.
The point is you need him, and he's not there. And you have fans saying, this is ridiculous. He gets paid all this money.
Yeah.
Then you have other fans saying, he's a human. We're going to respect it. Where do you fall on that spectrum if this happened to your team and to the players on your
team?
And
would you want answers?
Would you want answers?
Yeah.
Is it your business?
Yeah. I think all of those are important questions for these situations, because, you know, I think it is easy to just kind of, you know, say, hey, man, like, give the guy time. And I do believe that. I definitely believe, you know, if he's got some personal issues going on, he deserves to have the right to have that space to deal with it. But at the same time, you are a part of a very public organization where, yeah, you know, there's people who have, like, now especially, this is where gambling becomes a part of the conversation. Like, there's people who have Warriors over, whatever, 45 yeah. wins on the season. Like, there's people who kind of feel entitled to some answers. And the question is, are they truly entitled? Because you could argue they're putting their hard-earned money down on that. And, you know, of course, that's the built-in risk of gambling. But
yeah.
I think that it's part of the conversation as well. Or just if you're a diehard fan of the Warriors, like, I would like some yeah. shred of information, and I just think it's a really fascinating conversation.
The gambling thing, I don't think people are gonna feel too bad.
No one's
for
gonna feel
you.
Bad, but it's part of why there might need to be some form of explanation.
Yes, or some type of regulation. So
yes, regulation.
We'll break all of those things down. Also, some bad news coming out of Giants camp, the San Francisco Giants, and one of their arms penciled in to be their fifth starter has a very, very unique injury. Yeah. And I don't even know if it's an injury
or just
a condition
yeah.
that he's dealing with at Stanford. We'll Scary. Tell you who that is and what he is dealing with when we get back. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Well, Chris is finally watching The Challenge.
Yes.
I've already finished it. I actually watched the reunion part one.
Last night, right?
Last night. There's part two next week. You know, they got to drag these things out because I love drama.
Yes.
And
it's the best.
Depending on the team that you cover, depending on the team that you're a fan of, some teams have a lot of drama. Some teams don't have any. The Kings don't tend to have a ton of drama, okay? But I would say that last night and what Kevin Huerter said would qualify as semi-drama. It's nothing. This isn't Real Housewives, and I know Simone might call in if she's listening or anything like that. But I did find it interesting, according to Chris Biederman, who was boots on the ground out there and friend of the show in Denver last night, Kevin Huerter makes interesting comments about the Nuggets' big run in the second and third quarters. And this is a quote: "I don't know if I could put my finger on one thing. I wish I was out there to help us more, though." He declined to elaborate.
Interesting.
Small thing, big thing, nothing.
I would say it's a small thing, but I would definitely still say it is a thing because, and I think you might have said this to me when you initially sent it. So sorry if I'm taking your thing here, but
no, go ahead.
It's just the kind of thing that you don't want to seep in and then spread. Like you know, the Kings locker room, Mike Brown said it probably like less than a month ago. This is the most connected locker room he's ever been a part of. And this is honestly, you know, what else did Mike Brown tell us? That February is the time of year in which you really figure out which direction teams want to go. Mm-hmm. And if down the stretch here, the Kings start to lose some games and then, you know, guys start to whisper and guys start to get upset and say, oh, you know, like Kevin's saying here, like maybe if I was in, things wouldn't have gone that way. And whether that's true or you have any legs to stand on doesn't really matter, because if that kind of talk starts to spread, it becomes like a disease. And, you know, the only thing, winning cures all. And that's really the only way that you can quiet these kind of things. I'm not going to say it's a big thing. I'm not going to say that Kevin is upset, even though, you know, maybe if you read into not just this statement, but statements Kevin's made throughout this year, you can maybe read something bigger into it and say, you know, he's clearly not happy with how this season has gone.
No.
And I think some of that's on him, and I think some of that's on the situation he's been placed into. But this specifically is something that's going to be on my radar for sure. Again, more so in losses and in body language, but I don't think Kevin Herter's going to have a conversation with Mike Brown about it. But at the same time, like you going out there and saying it, even if it was in the heat of frustration, like I think that that's revealing a bit of Kevin's true feelings.
Yeah, I'm going to say whether between something, nothing, or big thing, I'm going to say it is something.
Yeah.
And Kevin Herter, you played 18 minutes, you were 2 of 5, with no De'Aaron.
Yeah.
So they were looking. And really, one of the bright spots, I would say, you know, he got 14 shots up and 4 for 8 from three, but Duarte,
yeah,
we know he's not
That's
afraid,
huge,
and
right.
he had some, he made some moments. He had 18 points. That's got to be the highest he scored with the Kings.
It is.
So he played 26 minutes. You could say Duarte took some of Kevin's minutes.
Right.
You could say, you know, a couple guys did. You know, Malik Monk is going to be in there. But Kevin, without De'Aaron, so they're looking for you to do some things. You played 18 minutes. You were 2 of 5 from the field. You were 0 of 2 from three-point range. And you were 0 of 2 from free throw.
Right.
So what is it that you do here? You had two, yeah. And I know you only played 18 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you played better, you would have stayed in. That's how Coach operates. That's how he's always operated. You had 4 points. You were a minus 20. I know everybody is a minus when you get blown out, but you were a minus 20.
Yeah, which is a team high.
You had 3 turnovers, and you had 2 fouls in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
That's why you weren't still out there.
Right. Which is maybe what he's saying. Like, we don't have the audio, so we don't really have the full context of how he
played
said
himself
it,
out of it.
That could definitely be what he's saying. He could literally just be saying, I wish I was out there to help us more, and that's on me because I had those fouls and I had those turnovers.
That better be what he means
because you're right. Like, his numbers do not say, oh man, why didn't coach give me another stint out there? I feel like I really could have helped. No, his numbers were, you're not hitting threes. You're turning the ball over, and you're not playing good defense.
Yeah.
So I can get that out of Chris Duarte on a bad day. And so, you know, on a good day, which Duarte, again, probably had his best day as a King, Duarte's hitting shots. You feel a lot better about Duarte's defense and his versatility than Kevin Herter's. And, you know, you're getting killed anyway. You might as well try something new, right? And so I don't really have a big issue if that is really what happened, if it is as simple as Mike just wanted to go with Duarte on the day. You know, it Kevin, you've said it 1,000 times, and it especially hits in a moment like this. Like, Kevin Herter's out there to hit shots. Mm-hmm. And on a day where De'Aaron Fox isn't playing, Kevin Herter needs to hit his shots. And he was 2 of 5, 0 of 2 from 3. He wasn't getting assists. He finished with 2 assists but 3 turnovers. He wasn't really helping out there, and so I don't have a problem. That's not the most egregious thing, and I definitely don't think Kevin Herter being inserted into that game changes anything. It's definitely some interesting comments there. I kind of wish he would have elaborated to Biederman, because there is so much there that can be, you know, read into.
I mean, nobody played particularly well.
That's
right.
Also true,
you
right.
have Keegan had 21. He basically felt like he had them all in the first half. We'll talk about how Keegan's aggressiveness, who should that be on? Should that be on Keegan? Should it be on the guys to realize what's happening and go with them? I would say Duarte was a bit of a bright spot in what he did. Malik Monk, he tried his darndest. You know, his usage is going to be out the roof when De'Aaron's not playing. You still found a way to be anemic from the free throw line. They were 8 of 13. They shot 61.5%. I don't even know why I'm giving them the
.5.
It's not De'Aaron's fault, but it is Kevin Herter's fault. He went 0 for 2. Okay, Harrison Barnes is 2 for 2. Sabonis was 3 for 4. Sabonis, he had a lot to deal with. He had 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 13 points. So 3 turnovers. Jokic got the best of him. And look, The Kings, you are 3-1 against the defending champs.
Right.
All right? The problem is the timing. Somebody said the same thing about free throws. It doesn't matter, and it's a little bit different, but at the same time, it isn't, because somebody says it's not about making your free throws, it's about when you make them. Okay, so the problem isn't that, oh my goodness, how could they be upset going 3-1 against the defending champs? The problem is not that. The problem is when you lost to them, and you lost to them at a bad time.
Yep.
And sure, we can throw this out the window. We can assume we all thought it was probably going to be a loss, right? You would have liked them to be a bit more competitive.
And that is why it's tough to get over. So you leave the Heat game not only with an L and your pride busted, you leave with De'Aaron with a busted knee.
Sure.
That's not good.
Yeah, I also think a big part of the reason why this feels so bad isn't, like you said, like we kind of chalked this in as a loss anyway. It's the fact that they had the lead they had. We knew they were probably going to get that lead bitten into at some point, but it was the speed at which it happened. Mm-hmm. It was y'all are up 15 and then like 3 minutes later, Denver has the lead. And then again, they never look back, get up by 30. I think there was a 12-minute in-game stint where from the second quarter, 8-minute mark to the third quarter, 8-minute mark, the Kings had only scored 10 points in total. Like it was how they lost. It was completely embarrassing. And it was, you know, that's not – De'Aaron Fox definitely would have helped stop the bleeding a little bit in those moments, but that's – the problem is there's concerns that are much bigger than De'Aaron Fox being out. De'Aaron Fox being in that game probably doesn't change the fact that this team gets absolutely killed on last night.
A couple days ago, we had a conversation about the Pistons-Knicks game where there was a call towards the end of the game that was very egregious on Dante DiVincenzo, yes, but it was a no call. And the Pistons talked about how if that was Jalen Brunson or the other way around, there would have been a call. Something happened last night. It's not why the Kings lost, but something happened last night that reminded us of that. We will discuss when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
During that run after the botched alley-oop and then the Davion missed three, there, I believe the Kings got a steal. And they pass it to Sabonis. And Sabonis, I believe it was by Jokic. And on the broadcast, I think Katie called it roughing the passer. And it was a really bad call. Yeah. Jokic reaches across Sabonis' body, gets him, so he throws it right to the Nuggets guy, and I think it ends in an Aaron Gordon dunk, and a timeout gets called right after that, and Mike Brown is looking at the ref, and Sabonis is looking at the ref.
Hands on his head.
Yeah, thinking, what's going on? And to me, that was exactly what the Pistons were talking about a couple nights ago, because if you swap those two players, Sabonis is getting that foul called on him every single time. Yeah. And does it change the outlook of the game? I don't know, but it was bad.
Yeah, it was really
bad. It was really, really bad.
Yeah, it was a really bad moment. And it's like, that's the moments where, like you said, like this is where you just, as a coach, as a player, you're just like, I don't know what to do in this. Yeah. Like, Mike Brown was literally lost. He was like, I can't scream at you. We all know what you just did. Like, we all know you just messed that call up. What am I supposed to do? Because now my team is reeling, because I believe that was after the lob, but it was
Nuggets were. It was the avalanche.
Exactly. It was a part of the avalanche. And so, you know, you're just in that moment, you're like, things are, it's the definition of things not going your way and snowballing, right? Like, you feel everything crumbling in front of you, and that's momentum. That's a complete momentum killer. The Kings were going to be on a fast break in that moment, and to have it turn into 2 points the other way, you're just lost. And that's where I understand where Mike Brown brings out the laptop. I understand where Monty Williams is like, I'm done. Like, I don't know what to say, or else I'm going to get fined more than I already am. And the NBA has an officiating problem. Like, it just is. I was watching a couple other games yesterday, and there were some calls, and I just don't think I've ever heard the broadcast as well, or broadcasts in general, calling out officials as much as I have. And that's usually how you know, every broadcast is going to say, like, oh, we're getting a bad whistle on our side. But for it doesn't matter which side you listen to, teams are just like, that's a missed call, missed opportunity. Refs missed this one. I just can't remember a time in which we don't even try to protect the referees anymore, because they don't deserve it. Like, with how many calls they're missing, they're ruining so many games on so many nights.
Yeah, and the thing is, shortly after that, there was a pretty soft, when the Kings got the ball back, literally right after the timeout, there was a pretty soft foul call. And Katie on the broadcast said, I think that's a makeup call.
Yeah.
There is no one of one though,
no,
because that doesn't make make up for. And I guess they're trying. But then it turns into, well, where's the integrity?
Right.
Was that even a foul?
Right.
We're not necessarily asking for you to make it up now. Don't miss it, because that doesn't change the momentum.
Nope.
That doesn't change the 2 points. That doesn't change Aaron Gordon, who kind of went off last night. That doesn't change any of that. Yeah. You giving us this little foul.
It was such a small call, too.
Exactly.
It was literally like Porter Jr. grabbed Keegan's waist.
Hey, guys, are bad, right? And I'm going to tell you this. This isn't the pocket watching segment, but next time you're bored, go look up how much these NBA referees make. They are not, they are not struggling.
Mm.
They're making pretty darn good money. Okay, so you can hold them the same way, not the same way we hold the players to a certain regard, right? They're not making millions, but they're getting paid a pretty penny.
Right. Yeah, and that's where it's, you know, that's where you would like some form of accountability, right? Like, it shouldn't just be these pool reports where one reporter gets to go in and ask a couple questions of why decisions were called. Like, why don't refs have a press conference after the game? And it doesn't have to be after every game, but I mean, I think we can all acknowledge, like, if there is significant calls out there that are being made, they should have to answer for it, because, you know, they are responsible for, you know, the outcomes of these games, whether they like to admit it or not. And, you know, some calls absolutely need some added perspective. And right now, you know, the NBA does the last 2 minute report, which I don't think anybody likes. I think the press conferences would probably be a similar thing, where it just ends up getting us more upset than we were in the beginning. But at the same time, at least you get some form of answers, and there is some form of accountability, where right now there's just none.
And I decided we are going to pocket watch.
Okay.
Okay. So this is from boardroom.tv. This is KD's whole thing. You ready for this? Are you ready? Have you looked this up before?
No, what they make? No, I
okay. Entry level referees begin at $600 per game, or roughly $250K per year.
That's very nice.
Seasoned or professional referees earn $3,500 per game, or up to $550K annually.
Woo.
That's why
that's not for a full season of work, like a full year of work.
No,
that's
it's
a season.
Not.
That is,
it's not.
Yeah.
It makes me feel less bad if I don't mind when players get, don't curse them out or anything like that. But if I don't really mind the bantering with fans and players, I don't typically like the ref you suck. I don't like that. But if you're getting paid $550K, you could take some of that.
Yeah.
You could take some of that ref you suck.
I've got no problem with the ref you suck. I have problem with like individual yelling like referee, like I'm gonna find you after the game or something. But ref you suck to me is like the bare minimum of which you can get. Like, that's just putting them on notice that we all know what just happened, and you're not just going to let it skate by, and everyone's going to hear about it. So, I think refs definitely could they've been protected. I mean, they are definitely – it's ridiculous to me that coaches say anything. Like, you can be slightly critical of a referee. You can try your hardest to talk about officiating and not get a fine and still end up getting fined. Like, I don't understand why the referees, to your point, are held to a different standard where, we ask everything of the coaches. We ask everything of the players. But the referees, just if you question their integrity at all, 50K out
50K.
Your wallet every single time.
50K.
Doesn't matter if they're right or wrong or any of it.
The Gucci man referee, you know he's making 550K.
Man. Yeah.
Because he's been around.
Yeah.
So.
And there's that one ref who likes to like really like pronounce what he's.
Right.
That is a clear path foul on number 24, Buddy Hield. Like that,
Every single time.
So
you're supposed to be good at your job too. Professional athletes, professional referees, that's not why the Kings lost.
No.
But there is an issue where
absolutely.
We all know for a fact if that was Sabonis reaching on Jokic, that's a foul. Now, maybe Jokic whips his head back a little bit and makes sure it gets called.
Sabonis needs to play with a little less integrity.
And is that gamesmanship? Yeah. And that's why when we make fun of the foul merchants, maybe they say, hey, you got to get in where you fit in because these referees.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, right?
These referees, they're not calling things. But that's not why the Kings lost. No. They lost because ultimately they did not show up. And even though they gave it the good old college try at the beginning, it ultimately wasn't enough. And the question now becomes, can the Kings survive
without De'Aaron Fox. Somebody asked or somebody said, responded to one of the Kings accounts that said De'Aaron's going to be out, and they responded saying, I'm sure this is just precautionary. I would say it's the opposite, because we know you got to drag De'Aaron off the floor. He wants to play no matter what. So if De'Aaron wasn't playing last night against the Nuggets, to me, that's not a good sign.
And did you see him walking into the arena?
I didn't.
They showed him walking into the arena. He had a limp. They showed him chopping it up with DeAndre Jordan, I think, after the first quarter. Walks over to the scores table, has a limp. I'm not nervous that this is going to be like a long-term, like a month-long thing, but I'd be shocked if De'Aaron plays on Friday too. And that's, you know, not good. And we're just talking about a limp here. I don't know about actual damage. Like, there's a chance that he can miss a week. He can miss 2 weeks. And, you know, that's where we've talked about how that's why it's so frustrating that the Kings have tricked off so many games before, because they were completely healthy the first two-thirds of this season. And yeah, it makes sense for in the last stretch here, guys are going to pick up little random injuries. Even if De'Aaron's thing wasn't major, I'm sure it's the culmination of all of the bumps and bruises that have gone, and now this knee thing is just too much for him. And I'm not going to blame him. I think De'Aaron absolutely should take his time, because you should be comfortable enough with your team to take the time that you need without having to feel like I have to rush back or else the season's going to end. But that could very well be the reality of the situation, that if De'Aaron Fox misses a week and a half, 2 weeks here, season could be, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, we could be talking 9-10 seed.
You're talking 9-10
seed. And at that point, you're hoping, hey, let's just make it out of the play-in. You don't have any actual hope of beating a 1 seed in a 1-8 situation.
916-339-1140. Let's get out to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
You know what it is, man. So, like, an Avalanche is too cold.
Steven?
An Avalanche is too cold.
An Avalanche is too cold.
Wiser words were never said. Steven? Oh, okay.
He's lost. Steven.
He was in the back.
We'll get him back.
Avalanche might have gotten him.
Well, it was, you know, that is the Colorado Avalanche, yeah. So there you go. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was last night. And, yeah, the De'Aaron thing to me is not great. I didn't look at it and say, oh, it's precautionary. I looked at it and said, it's not good.
He's hurting.
He's hurting.
Yeah.
He's hurting. Everybody knows they need every game.
Yes.
So absolutely. Any game someone doesn't play, they are already in the mode when people say, oh, well, if it was the playoffs, they would play. What do we, if that's a certain level, I guess we're maybe a step below that. Yeah. I think he probably would have missed a game.
Yeah. I think he would have missed a playoff game for that.
Oh, that's not good, Chris.
He was limping. Like, he was limping every time he walked. Like, maybe he could have fought through it, but he would have been playing through some, like, maybe he would have played in a playoff game, but he would have been severely injured, and it probably would have been at risk of him, you know, needing some further treatment down the line. So I'm okay with him sitting these games. You know, again, Sabonis should be able to sit a couple games. Like, the Kings should not, if the Kings are in a situation as a team where if your one of your two best players misses any games and your season is cooked, like, that's more a sign of where your team is at than anything else. Like, I think that's a sign that maybe your team was flawed from the start if you're that reliant on those two guys playing for 78 plus games. Like, that's just not something that any team factors into their stars, especially.
When we get back, we talk about Davion Mitchell. We talk about Patty Mills. Surviving without De'Aaron Fox, who needs to step up if he's not able to go again tomorrow? And even if he is able to go, people need to step up, get some W's. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
All guessing callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. Let's try Steven again. What's up, Steven? You were talking about an avalanche?
Good morning, boys. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, man, an avalanche, man. I don't think that run last night, that 33-8 run to end the half, which was appalling, was I don't consider that an avalanche. They were – an avalanche is cold, man. They were way too hot. That was more like a pyroclastic flow for sure, man. Yeah. They were out there just wreaking havoc on our squad, man. But I will never – I'm going to die on this hill that I don't believe that – it's hard for me to accept the fact that the league is just not holding refs accountable. Granted, I don't know if they even do anything. I'm sure a lot of people don't even know what happens behind the scenes between league offices and the referee association or whatever they call it. But I don't know what's happening because the refs are starting to kind of impact the integrity of the game at this point. It's starting to go a little bit more deeper than just the game of basketball. I mean, just each game. I feel like it's really starting to impact the entire integrity of basketball as a sport because because no one can trust the refs. No one can trust the calls. Monty Williams out here, anyway, you got laptops being thrown out. You got all these coaches that are coming out here being the most upset. You got players that are trying to disguise their frustration without really kind of calling out the referees with a bad call so they don't get fined. I'm really starting to believe the integrity of the game is starting to kind of go downhill, and I really feel like the league should start holding refs accountable. I don't know how realistic that is, but I feel like that's the direction the league should start going.
No, thanks for the call, Steven. The way they hold accountable is the same way they hold everybody else in that league accountable. You hurt their wallets. Yep. They got it. Okay, making $550K.
That's true.
That's what? Somebody help me, an accountant. You're making $550K a year.
Don't ask
depending
me.
On where you live, you're probably – or actually not depending on where you live, just plain, $550K, you're probably in like the top 20% of salaries, right?
More than me.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Nate. More than a lot of people. So you can, obviously, it's the same percentages because you're making less, right? So if it's you missed a call, and you wouldn't get this nitpicky, but depending on when that call is missed, you get hit. That is initially the only way I see this. We also have some sound and some notes from Pablo Torre's podcast, how they discuss some of the stats, right? And how is this an assist? Is this not an assist? And how that all affects the betting and things like that. This whole thing is scary. It's scary right now.
It's a complete mess.
The Jacksons and Sister Sledge, they're not scary. They're outstanding.
They're great.
And you have a chance to see them March 30th. Thanks to Thunder Valley Casino, we will give those tickets away at 1 p.m. And Nate, who we haven't seen in a little bit, he will pick the number caller today at 1 p.m. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at that time, 1 p.m. Yeah, so they didn't lose because of the refs, but there definitely seems to be an issue. And part of the reason they did lose is because you have Davion Mitchell with 5 points, 3 assists in 16 minutes. He was a minus 11. They at one point went to Keon Ellis, and now we have people clamoring for whatever's left of Patty Mills. What did you think of Davion's performance?
Definitely left me wanting more for sure. I mean, I feel like he's been good more times than not when De'Aaron doesn't start or can't play. But you know, at the same time, you get a lot of performance. Like, it feels like he's either really helping the team or he's giving you absolutely nothing. Kind of a bit of of like what we see with Chris Duarte sometimes, where it's feast or famine. And when he's not giving you anything scoring wise, it's just tough to justify him out there because he's not a playmaker. He's not like orchestrating the offense, and his defense is great. He's still having moments of you know, having he'll pull the chair. You think he pulled the chair out of Aaron Gordon yesterday? He's really good at stripping people on drives. But as a starter, like if you're looking to play him 30 minutes on a night, it's just I don't know if you can justify it on a playoff team. And, you know, especially when these guys are playing some of the toughest teams they've played all year in the most important stretch, it just feels like a really like it might be too big of an ask to tell Davion, hey, we kind of need some starter level production here.
I don't think you're wrong. I think that they were hoping for some combination of that. And if we look at the box score, obviously this game got out of hand. But if you look at the box score, you have Davion, who started, like we said, 5 points, 3 assists, which isn't terrible, 1 steal, 1 rebound. And then you have the guys who, if you're trying to get to that De'Aaron production, and you can't count Malik Monk because he's his own entity yep. at this point. So if you're trying to get to that production, do you count Duarte in that production?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's just the guys that you're playing at point guard. Like, I think it's Davion and Keon, and you're hoping that, I mean, in terms of making up what Fox gives you, yeah, I mean, Malik is taking most of that responsibility mm-hmm. for sure. But, you know, like you said, I mean, Malik still is responsible for what he typically brings every night, and then he's got to share some of the load, but the rest of that is all picked up by Davion and Keon. And both of those guys, I mean, Keon really, I don't remember a single thing Keon did yesterday. Davion pretty much, he played that first half, and you know, again, like I said, he had some moments defensively, but when you have Kevin Huerter not hitting shots and you have Davion Mitchell not hitting shots, and I don't even remember if HB did anything yesterday. He played 20 minutes too. So when you have three of your starters combining for 16 points, I mean, that's not good enough to get it done, especially not against the defending champs in their house. So they just weren't good enough yesterday. And, you know, it's all right. Like, the Denver was playing their A game. So I think we knew heading in Denver's a better team than the Kings are. And you know, Jamal Murray is definitely going to get the better of that matchup. But the question for me is more like, yeah, if De'Aaron's going to continue to miss time, I don't know if the Kings can survive with that production at point guard, and just hoping Malik and Sabonis can really carry them, and hoping that Keegan Murray can find some consistency here.
Looking here at Patty Mills in 10.6 minutes, averaging 10.6 minutes with the Atlanta Hawks.
Sure.
His season stats, 2.7 points per game, 1.1 rebound, 0.7 assists on 37% from the field. He was or is shooting 38% from three this season. I don't know if that moves anyone. Would you bring him in just because? If De'Aaron doesn't play on Friday, I think you might need to look at who else is available.
Yeah, I mean, possibly, but also, like, we're so late in the season. Like, how many point guards can... Like, we're talking about a point guard. We're not just talking about a center or power forward, someone who can maybe, you know, figure it out on the fly. If you're trusting somebody to essentially run your team and have no experience with any of the players, that's just a really big ask for somebody who doesn't know your system at all. And you've had Davion in there all year. I just don't know if there's really any answers out there. I mean, this is why the Kings probably should have made a move for a guy like DeLon Wright at the trade deadline. Like, I just don't think that there's anybody out there that the Kings are going to bring in. I mean, even Patty Mills is 35 years old, and he's not getting minutes for the Atlanta Hawks, who...
Not good.
They're you know, the good. Atlanta Hawks, if I'm not mistaken, are in 20s? The play-in yes. tournament right now in the East. So, if he's not... Yeah, they're the 10 seed right now in the East. So, if Atlanta doesn't have much of a use for him, I maybe he can be a little productive. Maybe he can hit a couple threes, but... you know, Patty Mills isn't changing this team. He's not going to help elevate this team. He can maybe contribute a little bit, but if we're talking about giving Patty Mills 28 minutes, that's not happening.
Yeah, from the 209 on the text line, they feel like Chris Duarte is getting hated on and we're starting to see him be productive. I think it's just really a matter of whether Coach Mike Brown is comfortable with him as a point guard. If you want to slot him into that, sure. But as it stands, Chris Duarte has been productive, but he's been productive in the Kevin Huerter minutes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Duarte's
never played point guard in his career.
So you can, if that's where we're at, if you're choosing between moving Duarte to point guard or rocking with what you got or going with Patty Mills, none of those are good choices. And really, the reason you probably don't bring in Patty Mills is you're just trying to keep your head above water until De'Aaron comes back.
Yeah.
Really, the conversation about what you do at that point guard position, it really translates or it really transitions based on what we know about De'Aaron. If they come out today and we hear De'Aaron it's not great and he doesn't play tomorrow and this thing seems lengthy, then let's have a Patty Mills conversation. If it seems like he was really close against the T-Wolves, then you're just not going to bother. You made your bed and now you have to lay in it. And Duarte will do some things organically, right? He does have the ball in his hand, but and this is not really us. This is just how Mike Brown wants to run it. They're still going to have a quote-unquote point guard on the floor. It's not going to be Duarte running the show.
No, it'll be Malik. I mean, Malik's pretty much the de facto backup point guard right now anyway. I'm curious, what would be the thought process in bringing Patty Mills in? Like, what are people hoping for from Patty Mills coming to this team? Like, is the hope that, he's going to be a good enough player to, you know, keep them in this playoff race? Or because you're obviously not hoping for any development from Patty Mills. He's 35 years old. He definitely is who he is. He probably wouldn't be here next year. So is the hope that Patty Mills is a good enough, and Patty Mills also is not a traditional point guard either. He's really more like a Quinn Cook, where he's a spot up guy. He can shoot, but he's not orchestrating an offense or anything. So I just don't know. I just don't know what would be expected from Patty Mills.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if the position of point guard matters because of Sabonis.
Yeah.
You just need somebody out there that's not an absolute brick. And Davion, we have the numbers here. We'll talk about them when we get back. Defensively, it's not as if the Kings are better or worse with Davion on the floor. So what is it exactly that he's giving you? So to 209's point, if it's not about the position of point guard and Duarte is on a heater, then there you go. When we get back, we continue to talk Kings. We will go over Brandon Nunez's tweets and the responses from Kings fans. We also discuss De'Aaron Fox and what might happen next with that knee. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.